Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that's always one of my biggest peeves right there. A controversial deportation flights. One of the Fox News news anchors just did it there during the Fox News update. They're not controversial. Just because a bunch of whiny Democrats and some left-wing federal judges are trying to block the deportation flights of these hardcore criminal illegal aliens doesn't mean they're controversial. The American people back what has taken place. This is just freaking common sense. You got hardcore criminal illegal aliens. Get them the heck out of here. It's not controversial. This is what this is like. I don't know if like this is like par for the course in journalism schools these days, because it's been so long since I myself was in journalism school. But they take anything that the Republicans are doing and the Democrats whine about it. And then they call the Republican bill or the Republican move or whatever, or common sense policy, well, controversial bill. It's kind of like the controversial bill to protect women from men entering their locker rooms. That's not controversial. The controversy is a man going into the woman's room. The controversy is our country being invaded by millions of illegal aliens that then come here and commit the most horrific crimes imaginable. That's what's controversial. Putting them on a deportation flight the heck out of this country is not controversial. Telling men to stay out of the girls' locker room and not to undress with their you-know-what hanging out in front of women and girls, that's not controversial. But again, this is what you get with the upside-down media. This is what you get with the upside-down Democrat Party, which is what is good is bad, what is up is down. A man's a woman. I mean, and then everybody else speaks out with some common sense. And, well, it's a controversial response from the American people here. Look, I get it. And you know, I think what happens with the media folks here, too, is like, oh, we gotta hype this up here. We gotta get people excited. We gotta get clicks on our websites, and we gotta jazz this up a little bit. We can't just tell the story, just tell the news, tell the fact. You gotta get all jazzed up here. So let's call it controversial. It's not controversial. Let me see here. Speaking of illegal aliens, the deportation flights, and more, what was the story that just caught my eye here? Man, it was one from Bill Malusion. I thought, oh yeah, here we go. This is out of Boston, Massachusetts. A liberal judge in Boston, Massachusetts. If I heard the story right, I'll play it for you here coming up after the news and weather break here. But so a liberal judge, district judge, state judge, not a federal judge, right, is trying to interfere with an ICE agent who is, working to deport a criminal illegal alien. This judge tried to go after the ICE officer. Now the federal U.S. Attorney's Office is going after the liberal judge in Boston, Massachusetts. This is the type of good stuff. Now what that judge in Boston is doing is very controversial. The U.S. attorney going after that judge? Not controversial. We'll get to that story right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings ranging from the upper 30s in Bozeman to about 43 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the low to mid 20s, and the outlook for Saturday does call for sunshine. High temperatures from 50 in Bozeman to the mid to upper 50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
A House Oversight Subcommittee holding a hearing Wednesday, which examined what South Carolina Republican Congressman William Timmons called
one of the most pressing national security challenges of our time, cyber espionage by adversaries targeting our critical infrastructure.
Virginia Democrat Suha Subramaniam agreed.
Programs like Salt Typhoon are actively infiltrating our networks and gaining access to sensitive information and credentials.
That Chinese hacking effort disrupted the telecommunications industry, leading to data being intercepted from more than a million users. Witness Josh Steinman, a cybersecurity expert, said the vulnerabilities are far more widespread.
Those include transportation, water, power, sewer, and the defense industrial base.
Former AT&T Chief Information Security Officer Edward Amoroso warned that if we don't improve our defenses,
then I think we'll look back on Salt Typhoon as perhaps child's play.
Kevin Uletsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here this morning. Yeah, here we go. This was a story that just caught my eye as I was doing some last-minute show prep here just before the show kicked off this morning. We do have a very busy lineup here this morning, so I'm going to try to, including a great guest joining us live here in just a few minutes. You know, it's rare that we have a live guest in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but that's what we're going to have, a great one coming up for you here in just a few minutes. He's a Marine, so he's used to getting up early, joining us here in the early morning hours of the show. Yeah, here we go. This was the story that caught my eye here. Bill Malusion, whenever you see a story from Bill Malusion, that's one you got to click on, you got to read, you got to listen to. A Boston judge found an ICE agent in contempt of court. Isn't that cute? Boston judge finding an ICE agent in contempt of court after the ICE agent arrested a man mid-trial last week. But now the judge in Boston is facing a legal battle. Here we go.
In Boston, the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts is now threatening the local Boston district attorney with felony charges. In a letter obtained by the Boston Herald, U.S. attorney Leah Foley writes in part, quote, "Any attempt or threat to interfere with the lawful actions of federal government agents will not be tolerated. It is a felony offense to assault, resist, oppose, impede, intimidate, or interfere with an immigration officer's efforts to duly execute the immigration laws of the United States." And Martha, I didn't stop there. That U.S. attorney also sent a letter to the Boston judge who initially held that ICE officer in contempt of court for arresting that alien. She told the judge that he has zero jurisdiction to do such a thing under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, that is great. That is exactly what our Department of Justice needs to be doing. Whenever you get these sanctuary city judges, these sanctuary city mayors that are turning this whole operation into a clown show, you got to go right after them. Hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. I mean, that's exactly what this liberal judge in Boston, it sounds like, is trying to do, is interfere with a federal agent from doing their jobs when they have zero authority to do so. Go after them. You know, they'd go after you if they had the if they had the option to do so. All right, let's see. Next up here, there was another story that caught my eye. By the way, speaking of left-wing federal judges, now this one or left-wing judges, this one is a federal judge, the Obama judge. Yeah, James Boasberg, what's the latest with the deportation flights? You know, you heard that story at the top of the hour where he said the controversial deportation flights. No, they're not the controversial deportation flights. What is controversial is a left-wing federal judge trying to bring these murderers and these rapists and these foreign criminal gang members back to this country. So what's the latest regarding this federal judge Boasberg? Madeline Rivera has this report from Washington. I hope it's not the same one that we already heard earlier. I didn't get a chance to listen to that update too closely, but here you go.
Federal Judge James Boasberg is looking into whether there is probable cause to move forward with contempt proceedings. Boasberg says it appears to him that the government acted in bad faith adding it would not have operated the way it did if it believed everything it was doing was legal. He pressed Trump administration lawyers about who they told about his orders, and he also called the administration's decision to use state secrets privilege to withhold certain information sketchy, given that some of the materials don't appear to be classified. Boasberg says he could issue a decision as early as next week on how to proceed, but Vice President J.D. Vance says he believes the administration will prevail.
All right. So, yeah, that's some of the latest when it comes to the deportation news. By the way, if you missed the show yesterday, we were talking about how several more illegal aliens have now been arrested and are being processed for removal out of the Flathead Valley of Montana at a Kalispell. If you did hear our conversation yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour with David Noble, David raised a really good question regarding the T-shirts and the sweatshirts that several of the illegal aliens were wearing in the photos provided by the Border Patrol. We've got that photo and a full story on our Montana Talks website right now, along with the audio of our conversation and a little bit of the readout from my conversation with Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla earlier in the week, talking more about the Trende Aragua illegal alien gang arrests in Shelby, Montana. So that's all on our Montana Talks website for you right now. Let's go back to the trade conversation and to the tariff conversation. Yesterday here in the 6 o'clock hour, I shared this great statement from NCBA, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, talking about the reciprocal tariff announcements out of the White House. And anyway, Ethan Lane, the statement that I shared, the written statement that I shared from Ethan Lane with NCBA yesterday, and then just some of the great statistics looking at how Australia, Vietnam, Thailand, Brazil, Paraguay, the EU, et cetera, all these others, you know, basically what they do to punish American cattle producers, or what our government under Joe Biden did to reward foreign cattle producers at the expense of American cattle producers. Ethan Lane, I heard him on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. It would have been in like the 4 a.m. hour Montana time. We've now got that audio for you. So I want to play some of his great, powerful remarks from Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I'll sneak that in here right after the Farm and Ranch Report. So it ties in nicely with the Farm and Ranch Report. And then after that, we have Brian Gilman, the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters, in the house with us here on the show in the early morning hour of the program. Going to be a great conversation with him. He's been giving a talk about anti-fragility. Can't wait to hear more about that topic here in a few minutes.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000-square-foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was sheer coincidence that two of the witnesses before a rare public hearing of the Senate Intelligence Committee were part of the botched text chain about military action in Yemen. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard and CIA Director John Ratcliffe were scheduled for the committee's annual worldwide threats hearing. But something else commandeered the talk of the town. Had the text chain about the military strikes not dropped, there would have been lengthy discussions about domestic terrorism and the threat at the border, how the U.S. was grappling with China, was there progress in the Middle East, and how about the war in Ukraine? Ukraine. Democrats have reeled since the early days of the second Trump administration, and then Democrats scored a gift with the bollocks text chain. Or it was at least something Democrats could wield against the other side. They were apoplectic about the group chat. Democrats charged that intelligence officials were cavalier with information. The group chat story is here to stay, at least for a while, until another major story barrels its way onto the scene and rattles everything on Capitol Hill. And at that point, the new subject becomes the talk of the town. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
If you received an inheritance last year, you may owe a cut to Uncle Sam. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business tax tip coming up.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
For those who lost a family member and received an inheritance in 2024, you might owe taxes on what you gained. The estate tax, sometimes known as the death tax, applies when an inheritance is significant. CPA Bill Dendy.
Generally, a married couple with less than $27 million can leave all their assets to their children or other beneficiaries without paying any estate tax. An inheritance will not be subject to income tax and probably will not be subject to estate tax unless you're receiving a retirement account.
Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, this week, over 2,000 FFA members and guests are in Bozeman for the Montana FFA Convention. And this morning, our network's Lane Nordland has more from this year's event.
Russell, it's hard to believe that the 95th Montana FFA Convention is underway here on the campus of Montana State University. I was able to catch up with the president of the association, Miss Jordan Leach, who shared more on all the activities going on here in Bozeman.
We started our day of service activities. We have those right here on the floor of the brick all morning. We just wrapped up some delegate business sessions, visiting about some items of business that have come up the last year or so. Like you said, we have lots of contests going on as well, CDEs, LDEs at the fairgrounds and on campus. So we're all over the place. And then, yeah, we have an iconic FFA dance tomorrow night right here in the brick, I believe. So we're looking forward to that too. But and then sessions every evening, lots of stuff going on all over.
Montana FFA has seen significant increases in membership over the past 15 years with over 6,700 FFA members from 110 FFA chapters statewide.
So Montana's association has been growing exponentially in the past few years. We have experienced so much growth in terms of new chapters being chartered, as well as just a growing membership in general. We have tons of new students that are being involved, which is absolutely wonderful. And we're also experiencing a lot more support as well from other organizations and groups outside of the FFA. But we're always looking for more and more support in order to bring more opportunities and experiences to every student that we possibly can throughout the state.
The FFA convention runs through Saturday morning when a brand new slate of state FFA officers will be announced under the same lights in the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse where the Bobcat basketball and rodeo teams compete. Back to you, Russ.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. And can you believe that Lane was elected as the Montana State FFA president in Bozeman 15 years ago? Man, he is getting old. Of course, over the next few months, state FFA conventions will take place in other states here in Western Ag Network country as well. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Fitzsimmons, Baltrush Angus invites you to their annual production sale, Monday, April 7th, northeast of Havre, Montana at the Baltrush Ranch. This year offering 40 Black Angus bulls bred for predictability, fertility, efficiency, and longevity through genetics from McCumber Tribute, RM Scotsman, Greigel Bottom Line, and RM Big Easy. Sale time is 1 o'clock. You can bid in person or online at Frontier Live Sale. For complete details and sale catalog, visit FBARanch.com. FBA's top priority is your bottom line.
At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we take a lot of satisfaction in being able to help ag grow in Montana. Whether that be helping an existing operation expand or getting the next generation started, we accomplish this by offering competitive interest rates and knowledgeable loan officers with service at your doorstep. If you're looking to grow or get started, give myself, Chance Merrill, a call at 1-800-332-3405 or check us out at ag-credit.com.
Well, this week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said that farmers and ranchers need a new five-year farm bill here in 2025. Of course, it has failed now to get through Congress the last two times under the Biden administration, and it's a very, very big priority of hers. But she says getting it across the finish line will be a very complicated process as well. Keep in mind, as we've reported many times on these programs, the current Farm Bill extension expires in September. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get to our guest here in just a second. So let me sneak this on real fast, especially right after the Farm and Ranch Report. Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning with some great remarks talking about the tariffs and the trade conversations that are going on right now. And I was like, and so that's why I wanted to keep a special eye out to find that audio. Here we go. So basically, Lawrence Jones, when he introduced Ethan Lane on the show, he was saying, look, the markets did not respond well yesterday to the tariff news, but strong comments from the NCBA. And so they were weighing in on that front. Here you go, Ethan Lane. Okay, now the computer doesn't want to fire the clip here. Let me go again. All right, now it's working. Here we go.
Well, look, nobody who imports or exports likes tariffs, us included, right? This is not a tool that we would pick if we had other options. But the president makes a very good point that for a very long time, we've had the raw end of a lot of these trade deals. You know, in the case of the beef industry, we've been used as, you know, trade bait or a bargaining chip in some of these international relationships. And it's led to some really lopsided relationships. And our hope here is that the president can use this tool to square up the deck and get us a little bit of a better deal with some of these trading partners so that we're not balancing the backs of these different trade balances on U.S. farmers and ranchers. So, you know, we're hopeful this happens quickly and that we can get back to some low tariff trading with our neighbors and our partners.
You know, to that point, when you look at some of the numbers, you got Vietnam and there's a 30% tariff on U.S. beef. Thailand, there's a 50% tariff on beef. Australia, there's no U.S. beef sold due to non-scientific barriers. And then the EU, the Green Deal restriction on U.S. beef. So this is an issue. When I talk with the people, they say it's just about fairness. Do you see it that way?
100%. The Australians have had a free trade agreement with us for 20 years. They have sold more than $28 billion in beef into the U.S. market in that time while continuing to slow roll us on access to their market. There's always one more piece of paperwork, always one more clearance that's needed before we're ready to ship into their market. It's the carrot that you never reach. And that's just sort of indicative of these kinds of relationships because I think they feel like, well, gosh, we're such good friends with Australia. We're never going to do anything to disrupt that relationship. But we appreciate that President Trump is willing to take that conversation on and make sure that, you know, there's an equitable relationship there where they can ship in what we need in our supply chain because there are things we need from other countries, but that we have that reciprocal access as well.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Great comments there from Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on Fox and Friends. Earlier this morning, of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here, 1370 KXTL Butte, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and 970 KBUL Billings here. In the early morning hours, hey, I mentioned we got a great Marine who is so used to waking up early. He's here for the early morning hour of the show. We'll get to retired Colonel Brian Gilman, the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters, with a great, great message coming up here right after this, 60 seconds after the Freedom Friday here with retired Marine Corps Colonel Brian Gilman, the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters. Brian, great to see you as always.
It's great seeing you, Aaron. Appreciate you having me on this morning.
I'm sorry we're interrupting your morning workout.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, but no, it's great to see you. You had a great get-together last night for,
we did.
You know, talking to folks about Warriors in Quiet Waters. I want to hear, you know, because I've gotten to read some of your comments. You know, you've been giving this great talk about it. Anti-fragility and combating fragility. It's not just a problem in our culture, in our American culture right now. It can be a problem in the veterans' culture as well. So I can't wait to hear more of your comments on that. But before we get to that, Warrior Taste Fest
It's one of the coolest events of the entire year. It's not till September, but I tell folks about it now because I'm on the auction committee for Warrior Taste Fest. So if anybody has any cool items that they want to have as a part of the Warrior Taste Fest auction, hit me up and I'll link you up with the team. And so I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one. We appreciate it, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's up, man? Talk about Warriors in Quiet Waters here before we, you know, get to some of your other message here. Just everything you guys have been doing, all the veterans that you're serving. I mean, it's just remarkable. It's hard to cover it all in just a short conversation.
A lot of work to be done. You know, we launched our Built for More program 2 years ago, and we're seeing outstanding results in terms of the outcomes that veterans are having participating in the program. And we have seven times more veterans applying for the program than we can currently serve. So we're getting after trying to increase our capacity and be able to fill that need. So, you know, the team's busy. We started our programming back in January, and we're running hard through the rest of the year. So,
yeah, it's so cool. As a fellow veteran, you know, when I was had the opportunity to volunteer with Warriors in Quiet Waters one summer, just to be able to tag along on the mission felt like I was, you know, going through the program myself, and then sitting in on, you know, some of the in-depth conversations amongst the veterans. It's you feel like you're going back out on patrol with the guys again.
Yeah, we're trying to recreate that team, that tribe that they had in the military, and, you know, creating those strong relationships is a key component of our program. And a lot of the way that we do that is through, you know, these discussions that we have in the program, coming off the water and, you know, talking about real things. So
yeah, I mean, it was so cool. I mean, here you are at the base of the Bridgers, and instead of the gun trucks rolling in to roll out for the mission, it's the pickups with the drift boats in the back of them, and those are the gun trucks for the day.
Yep.
And then you come back at the end of the day, and instead of sitting there cleaning your weapons, BSing with the boys, you're sitting there having good conversations, you know, with your fellow warriors.
So absolutely.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Pretty cool. Well, I wanted to take advantage. I knew you were going to be in town, and I was like, man, we gotta talk to Brian Gilman about this anti-fragile conversation. You shared it on LinkedIn. I know Warriors in Quiet Waters shared it on your website as well. It's a great message, especially here on Freedom Friday. So stand by. More to follow with Colonel Brian Gilman, the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters. Back right after this. And oh, yeah, and if you have a cool auction item for Warrior Taste Fest, you can message us on the Montana Talks app or drop me an email, aaron@montanatalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Brian Gilman, a retired Marine Corps colonel. And before he retired, he was the chief of staff at MARSOC, which is a Marine Special Operations Command, and just got an incredible background. A Butte kid, Butte tough. In fact, speaking of Butte, last night you were talking about the, you know, the legendary Montana Tech football coach, Bob Green. I got to get Coach Green back on the show. It's been a long time since I've had him on the show, but he's got a YouTube page going now and everything.
Yeah.
He's still the same character he's always been.
Yeah, I'm going to see him in Butte here in a couple of weeks. I'll let him know that you're looking to get him back on the radio.
Yeah, so, do that. But it was playing football at Montana Tech that really inspired you to end up joining the military.
Yeah, one of the inspirations. I mean, I had a couple of high school buddies that joined right out of high school, fought in the Gulf War. That inspired me. And Coach Green was my football coach. Knew he was a Marine veteran of Vietnam, and just, you know, admired his leadership and just the aura that is Bob Green. And, you know, once again, I mean, a lot of cases, it's, you know, trying to look at exemplars and how they live their lives. And that really ultimately pushed me to call the Marine Corps and join after I graduated college. So
I've all of a sudden forgot the book that I was reading, but this just came to mind. There was a book that I was reading, and it was about mental health and things like that. And the book was basically making the point that, like, we are going about mental health totally wrong in this country because we are being so tenderfooted about everything. And she used a football analogy in this book, and I'll have to go look through my list of books to see which one it was. But she used a football analogy. She said, you know, if you're out there on the football field, does the coach go up and down the line? Hey, buddy, are you okay? Do your feet hurt? Does your back hurt? Are you going to be able to play this next game? No, because
Because the moment that he plants that thought in your brain that you might be hurt, that you might, then now he's planted that image in your brain. Yep. And then now you're going to be second guessing yourself out on the football field. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the way our country is approaching mental health is wrong. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's multiple approaches to mental health, just like there are physical health. I believe that the Homo sapiens, our species, have evolved to become an incredibly strong species. I don't think we're fragile. And the fact is that life is hard. You know, good things happen to bad people all the time. And, you know, just my life experiences have shown me that you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond to what happens to you. And I think the way that you respond really determines what the outcome is ultimately going to be. And I believe that adversity has an opportunity to provide significant meaning in our lives, provide us purpose, and as a result of that, we can become stronger because of the challenges that we've faced. And that's what this blog, Antifragile, is all about. It's not my idea. I mean, Nassim Taleb wrote a book about antifragility, but my experiences as a Marine and my experiences leading Quiet Waters and, you know, the thousands of veterans that I've worked with over the past 10 years have just demonstrated that. I've seen service members that have had these incredibly traumatic experiences, but, you know, with a little bit of work, have grown stronger because of it. And they found a very meaningful life and found really a sense of purpose because of that. And I think it's just that, you know, from time to time, we need a reminder of how strong we really are. And, you know, it's our choice in terms of how we respond to what happens to us. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond.
Yeah, I love this. It was a lot of my fellow veteran friends in the Bozeman area, you know, guys like Steve Rast and guys like, you know, Seth Jordan, who started Dog Tag Brewing, yep. that really were pushing this message of, hey, we got to stop treating veterans like victims all the time. And I think General Mattis had
absolutely
an important message about that as well. That look, do we need to tackle important issues? Do we need to address veteran suicide? Do we need to address post-traumatic stress? And all? Yes, we do. But stop treating veterans like they're victims, because especially some of the most successful people in our communities are veterans who've seen some tough things.
Yep.
But they're using that experience to fight back and fight for their communities even harder.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I've been working in this space, we've overemphasized the trauma related with combat service and have totally ignored the opportunity that lives on the far side of that trauma, and that's post-traumatic growth. You know, becoming stronger because of those adversities that you faced. And, you know, that's what this concept of anti-fragility is all about. That's why I wrote the blog. You know, I believe that every veteran, especially combat veterans, are imbued with this thing called the warrior ethos. And, you know, it's just a matter of reawakening that in ourselves and knowing that we can respond in a way that's going to make us stronger when we're dealing with tough times.
You know, even in some of the day-to-day cultural / political conversations we've had, you know, we'll have callers like Tim and Billings who will talk about how in our culture today, it's more celebrated to be a victim than it is to be a champion sometimes.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And so you talk in this blog post on the Warriors and Quiet Waters website, Antifragile. You have five practices for anti-fragility. One of these days, we need to get you on for like a full hour or two talking about all this. But what's one or maybe how would you summarize the five practices for anti-fragility?
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with mindset, and I've talked a little bit about that already. You know, understanding that life's going to bring adversity and approaching it with what I call pragmatic optimism. And that's an approach where you accept the world for what it is, knowing that times are going to be tough from time to time, but you expect progress through hard work and determination and perseverance, and you look for the opportunities that exist in most challenges. You're going to get a better outcome if you do that. So that's number one. Number two, you know, having a sense of purpose. You know, Friedrich Nietzsche famously said that, you know, a man with a why can withstand almost anyhow. You know, a sense of purpose, knowing what our why is, makes us stronger. It gives us something to hold on to when times get tough and stay on that path that's so important. The third is, you know, having a tribe. You know, one of the things that service members lose when they leave the military is that team. And, you know, we're social creatures that need other people. And, you know, a tribe starts with a strong family. It transcends friendship to what we, you know, brotherhood, true brotherhood and sisterhood, where you got the circle of 3 a.m. friends that are going to come running to you no matter what the time or what the issue. Gives us psychological safety, makes us stronger. And then, you know, the last thing that I'll highlight is that we should practice doing hard things. You know, being, you know, doing hard things makes us stronger and prepares us for the adversity that's going to come our way, whether that's, you know, through physical hardship, whether it's through psychological hardship that we impose on ourselves by facing our fears, doing hard things that are mentally tough to do, practicing being uncomfortable, practice being bored. This girds us for that adversity that's going to come our way.
That practicing being bored,
yeah,
that's one of the hardest things.
It is.
It's just sitting. I mean, what,
especially in the age of cell phones, you know.
Being still and being silent.
Absolutely.
That is one of the hardest. It's a little easier when you're out in the mountains or by a nice river, though.
Yeah.
But man, that can be one of the hardest things.
You'd be amazed at the epiphanies that you have when you do that, though. When you put your cell phone down and you just take the world in for what it is. And, you know, that's where the hard problems get solved a lot, you know.
You shared this story last night, which I loved, about this Navy SEAL who went through the program, went through Warriors in Quiet Waters, which is now a totally redesigned program. I mean, yeah, it still includes the fly fishing in Montana and now a hunting aspect and some ice fishing too, but there's a lot more in the whole built for more program. But you said this Navy SEAL, you went out fishing one day. He caught 50 fish on a fly rod.
Yes,
I've heard of guys catching 50, 60 fish, you know, bass out on, you know, Bighorn Canyon. But 50 fish on a fly rod?
On a tailwater creek. Yep.
Wow.
In one day.
Told us
that, you know, second only to the birth of his children and his marriage, it was the best day in his life. So, yeah, it was an amazing day. Amazing day for Chris.
But, you know, you can have an amazing day and then you go back to reality on Monday and you can be, and it could be a letdown, but... But that's why there's more to this program.
Yep. It's a 9-month immersive program that's really designed to help veterans build strength in the things that make us thrive and live a life of purpose. So it's rigorous. It's a long term program, and it's really having an impact.
Part of why I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to have you here on the show is not only because I'm a big fan of Warriors in Quiet Waters and have the honor of serving on the National Advisory Board. And then, you know, looking for good, cool auction items for the auction for Warrior Taste Fest as well. But I would encourage folks, if you're looking for a speaker to come talk to some kids, to talk to a football team, to talk to your employees, Brian's got such a great message, not only about anti-fragility, but about why warriors matter.
Yep.
And when we say warriors, it's not just veterans. It's warriors like you guys in your communities and why being a warrior matters.
Yeah, and bringing that warrior ethos to, you know, every the way that you live your life every single day. So I love talking about this stuff. It's part of my purpose is to, you know, inspire and lead. And, you know, I, every opportunity I get to talk about these things, I'm greatly appreciative of it. So I appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, so get a hold of me, and I'll forward your info on to Brian and the crew at Warriors in Quiet Waters, or just go to the Warriors in Quiet Waters website, and you can click the Contact Us. 30 seconds before our break, Colonel Gilman, what would be your biggest piece of advice for leaders that want to combat fragility in their own formations?
I think this is a great subject to talk about. And, you know, like I said, acknowledge that the times are going to get tough, but we have the ability not to just withstand that and stay the same. We have the ability to get stronger because of the hard things that we do. So,
Colonel Gilman, great to see you. That we had another fellow veteran at the event last night, and he came up to me after. He's like, holy cow. He's like, it was his first time hearing you. He's like, I would follow that guy anywhere.
It was great connecting with him.
It's that Butte tough thing, too, you know.
Absolutely.
So you can't minimize the Butte toughness. All right, great to see you. Legislative update coming up next.
Your Morning Espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you want free and fair trade, you can have it. If you want to put tariffs on U.S. products and hurt U.S. workers, then there'll be reciprocity. We will do to you that which you do to us. And the choice will be yours or will not be ours. And what is the net result going to be? It will take time to play out. Here's my prediction. And all these people that are wringing their hands in a state of panic, talking doom and gloom and stagflation and inflation, etc., they're all going to be proven wrong, because these countries need access to all of our money, meaning all of your money. They want to sell their products in the United States of America.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Only two things in life are certain: death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings ranging from the upper 30s in Bozeman to about 43 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the low to mid 20s, and the outlook for Saturday does call for sunshine. High temperatures from 50 in Bozeman to the mid to upper 50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Oh, man, they got me. I haven't been fooled by an April Fool's joke in a long time. But when Explore Whitefish shared an announcement on their Facebook page that Bravo was announcing Desperate Housewives of Whitefish, Montana, a new reality show, I totally thought it was real. And so did a lot of other folks. You got to go check out the comments on this story. I've got it at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the final whimper of the Soviet-style show trial in Montana. Must hear audio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslocki.
Over the past 25 years, I've had the incredible privilege of attending hearings at the U.S. Supreme Court during some of its highest profile cases. The first was back in December of 2000, and the case was Bush v. Gore to decide the outcome of the 2000 presidential election. The street in front of the court was filled with press as the world waited to see who would be declared president of the United States. I believe TV Bangladesh was even there. I was in the courtroom during the hearing on Espinosa versus the Montana Department of Revenue. The Montana Family Foundation was an amici in that case, and we eventually won when the court declared a provision in the Montana Constitution to be religiously discriminatory. I was also at the court during the hearing of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. We also filed an amicus brief in that case that eventually overturned Roe v. Wade. That was by far the most contentious hearing I've ever attended, with an army of police separating the pro-life and pro-abortion camps. This week, Wednesday, I was at the court yet again for the latest abortion-related case. Again, the Montana Family Foundation was an amici in the case of Medina versus Planned Parenthood. And once again, the pro-life and pro-abortion supporters were separated, this time by a double line of barricades and a heavy police presence. At issue is whether or not the state of South Carolina can be forced to provide taxpayer-funded abortions through Medicaid. South Carolina argues that Medicaid dollars are limited, so they want them to be used at health facilities that provide the broadest array of treatments in an effort to help the highest number of patients. Since Planned Parenthood focuses mainly on abortions and transgender transition drugs, they were not on the list of approved Medicaid providers. Planned Parenthood argues that patients should be allowed to choose the provider of their choice, including Planned Parenthood. From a taxpayer perspective, it's worth noting that Planned Parenthood's annual budget is nearly $2 billion, and of that, about 43% comes from federal reimbursements or grants. At the hearing, South Carolina was represented by Alliance Defending Freedom's senior counsel, John Bursch. Planned Parenthood was represented by Nicole Saharsky from the Myers Brown Law Firm. The hearing lasted about an hour and a half, and judging from the questions, we're guardedly optimistic that the court may rule 6-3 in our favor. Meanwhile, back in Montana, we have another potential Supreme Court case percolating. Last year, as you may recall, the Montana Supreme Court overturned a voter-passed ballot initiative requiring minors to get parental permission to get an abortion. The decision was so broad and so poorly worded that the actual effect was to declare that minors of any age have complete procreative autonomy. The the state of Montana inserted itself squarely between parents and their kids. Thankfully, Attorney General Austin Knutson and Governor Greg Gianforte have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the Montana Supreme Court's decision and restore parental rights. The Montana Family Foundation is also an amici in that case. For those who may not know, the U.S. Supreme Court receives between 7 and 10,000 requests for appeal every year, and of those, only about 70 or 80 cases are accepted. We applaud the governor and the attorney general for stepping up to the plate and fighting for Montana's parents and children. Lord willing, we'll have the privilege of watching this case and attending the hearing at the U.S. Supreme Court. Better yet, we look forward to seeing the Montana Supreme Court, the most overturned court in the nation, being overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court once again. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofsky for another great update. We got a big 7 o'clock hour coming up for you. We're going to look at the bright side with Becky Hillier. First half of the show. Second half, we got a great addition in the second half as well. U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy, who is just put in the job by President Donald J. Trump once again, the acting U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy. We're going to talk about the DOJ and the FBI surging resources into Indian country to combat crime and look at these open investigations and much more. So that'll be coming up around 7:40.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.